The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, yeah, we're getting a little bit of a late start on it this year. Advent, right? Yes. Okay, good. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow, we're turning over a new leaf. We're awake this morning. You know, this is okay. It is a new year. So if we have New Year's resolutions in effect, then all the better for it. The new liturgical year. Year B for us in the 3-year cycle of readings, we're reading from the Gospel of St. Mark. And we have this little passage from him this morning to kick off our Advent observance. And it's worth, I think, paying attention to some of the signs and symbols that are around as it relates to Advent. I mean, we see a lot of the color purple. I don't know if you like the color. I mean, I look good in it, but I look good in everything, so it's really not, yeah. We got the purple candles out. Yeah, I know. I am that arrogant. Okay, so I'll maybe tone it down a little bit for Advent. But we got the purple candles out as well. And it's interesting because I think the first thing we think of, at least in church life, with the color purple, is that it's a penitential color. Yeah, and that's absolutely right. It is a penitential color for a penitential season. So Advent is a penitential season. Okay, this kind of pushes me into the first bit of tension, right? It's like all around us, people, are they celebrating Advent? Do you see signs saying Merry Advent or Happy Advent around? You go into Walmart, people wishing you a blessed Advent. That's not what's happening, right? Everybody around us is celebrating Christmas, whatever that means. I'm not entirely sure, right? It's why C.S. Lewis gave us the parody Xmas. He wrote a little story on the kind of activity, the human activity of Xmas, which he didn't think related too much to Christmas proper. And he's right. But there is a sense of, okay, look, it's not like we're not called to be truth tellers in the sense of we have to go out and tell everybody that they're wrong. You know, like, it's not Christmas. You know, slow down, everybody. It's not Christmas. They're doing their own thing, you know? They're doing their own thing, and we live in the midst of that. So understand that, okay, holiday cheer and everything, great, good for us if we can get holiday cheer out of our neighbors, right? Good for us if we can celebrate really a beautiful time of the year and allow it to be the joyful celebration that the world is having. Great, fine, let's celebrate with those who are celebrating. But for us, this is a penitential season, and our acknowledgement, the fact that we come here today to celebrate the beginning of Advent, we are acknowledging in the flesh that we need a penitential season. Yeah, we need this time between now and the 25th. We need this time to focus our hearts and our minds on what the season is and what it's for. Right, so we say we're preparing for the coming of Christ Jesus. How many of us are ready? Right, I think I already have plans to go to confession this week, you know, so I'm already saying, like, I'm not ready, okay? I'm not ready. How many of us is ready for the coming of the Lord? Yeah, and the season, okay. So we need Advent, yeah? Okay. This is what happens, yeah? You were all eager at the beginning, and now everybody's like, okay, we've had enough already. Okay, no, we need Advent. We need a penitential season. We know, yeah, that the coming of Jesus has been already the great time of, say, bringing God's justice to the world, like he's putting the world to rights. And we ourselves have been caught up in that, both that we will be put to rights ourselves, right? That we will be brought into alignment with the true and living God, that we will be we will be made a new creation, and then we will get about the work of restoration so that when we're put to rights, we're putting the world to rights as well. Okay, so we've been caught up in this dynamic, and it's ours to be caught up again in the same dynamic, okay? So it's not to say, okay, great holiday season, time to party, time to drink, time to whatever, okay? Fine, time to do all that, but also time to focus our hearts and our minds and our lives on Christ Jesus to make sure that we're centering on him, okay? Because again, we wear the purple as, say, a penitential color, but purple also, I don't know if you will remember this or if you've had so much contact with it, but purple also is the color of kings. It's the color of royalty. Yeah? And so when we celebrate this penitential season, we're celebrating the kingship of Jesus. Do you know Christ comes from the Greek ho Christos, right? Christos, and Christos means anointed. Yeah? It means king. Okay? So when we say Christ Jesus, or you say Christ, you're saying king or King Jesus. Okay, so we're making that proclamation again today by wearing the purple and celebrating this particular season, because we are now awaiting the coming of the king, right? Now, in two ways, this is what makes the language a bit difficult for me, is this. One is that we're awaiting the birth of the king who has already come and whose coming we now anticipate. So I want to kind of end on this. I don't know if that's a little trifold, but little triptych, but let's end on this part, okay, is to say this. Jesus, King Jesus, yeah, we celebrate the advents of Christ in this season. So the season has, in fact, two parts. One is from now until December 17th. The other is from, say, this 17th into the 25th. Okay, the first is this. The first part of the season is to think about, reflect on, and anticipate the second coming. So when Jesus returns. Yeah, that's this part of the Advent season. That's why you didn't hear anything about like what happens before the birth of Jesus. Because we get that in the second half. Really, it's a little less than half, but we get it in the second half of the season. We get the immediate preparation for the birth of Jesus. So here now, the Advent, this is why I say Advent or Adventus, coming. We have a number of Advents that we celebrate in Advent. Again, the first is the second coming. The second is the first coming, the birth of Jesus. But all along, we celebrate the present coming, the coming into this moment of Christ Jesus, especially in prayer and sacrament. Okay, so we know what we know what the birth is. Okay, we know what the birth of Jesus is. We've got that in the second part of the season. That's the immediate preparation for Christmas, the celebration of the birth of Christ. Okay, that's that. The first part of the season, I think, can be a bit tricky for us, but it's also combined with the fact that Jesus is coming now to us today. So what is it? The second coming of Jesus, when Jesus comes, the old order, which has been rumbling along on its own steam, finally comes to an end. And all is brought into subjection to Christ the King. Okay, what does it mean? It means that the reality that we are living now, the reality of our being loyal subjects of Christ Jesus, what do I mean? I mean people who have entrusted themselves to Jesus, who have submitted themselves whole and entire to him and his rule, his reign, that reality will then be the only reality there is. Right? Every knee will bend at the name of Jesus. Right? Everyone will be brought into subjection to him. And we say, oh, that sounds a bit harsh, right? You're not going to give people the will to respond and so on. So, well, he is the king. He is the king. Now, what makes it less harsh than, say, this simple imposition of a foreign rule, right, on top of us, is that this is how he exercises his kingship. He exercises kingship from the cross. He lives out and advances God's rule of self-giving love, right? So his rule is mercy, which means that we desire it all the more. We want it desperately. Yeah, it's not like a give or take proposition, but our hearts rejoice in the fact that Jesus' rule both has come and we are submitted to it, and that it is coming so that the whole of creation can be set free from the rule of, say, counterfeit gods or imposter kings. We have the true king. We have the true and living God who not only rules over us, but inspires us. He breathes into us his very life. He feeds us with his body and blood so that we can have now the freedom for which our hearts long. Now, I said there's a relationship between, say, today and the coming, the second coming of Christ. And the technical theological language for it is, say, participative eschatology or collaborative eschatology. I know you think it's too early in the morning to be hearing words like that, okay? I understand. Participative or collaborative eschatology. The eschaton, this is like a Greek lesson this morning. I don't know what's going on. This is the eschaton is the age to come. Okay, that's when Jesus comes, he ushers in the age to come. Yeah, okay. So the eschaton, a participative or collaborative eschatology, means that by virtue of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the age to come has been brought forward into the present age. Yeah, so it means that the church and we, loyal subjects of Christ Jesus, are something of a symbol or a sign of God's coming rule, what he intends to accomplish. And in us and through us, he accomplishes what he intends to accomplish for all at the end. Yeah, so then what does it mean? It means that we have to live as the renewing force, both that we are renewed and that we're bringing the renewal that God wants to bring for his entire creation. Okay? Maybe it's complicated, maybe it's not complicated. Here's what's not complicated. The way that it happens is through hearts that are focused totally on God and his purposes, that submit themselves whole and entire to Jesus and his rule. It means we trust and follow Jesus in all things. We have to make that prayer our own and have real personal encounter with Jesus, because that coming, the kind of the evergreen coming of Christ Jesus, is most significantly achieved in prayer and sacrament, right? Where he's giving himself to us immediately, in an unmediated way. He's giving himself to us so that we can trust him. We're entrusting ourselves to him and follow him. Both he's leading us to where we need to be, and we are following him in the way of self-giving love. Yeah, we're trusting and following him in all things. That's how the renewal of the world is taking place. So let's grow. Let's take this season, again, where we're preparing for his birthday, right? To prepare ourselves for his birthday. And to say and to think of the gift, really, that he wants more desperately than anything else. Right? My prayer this morning, it was, God, what great lengths you have gone for me. Do I go great lengths for you? I'm not sure. Right? I'm not sure. That's my contrition part. Right? The adoration is, you've gone great lengths for me. Right? You go great lengths for me. He goes, right? Today, he goes great lengths for me. Can we respond with a gift in kind? Can we respond with love to the gift of love? Can we respond with my whole person to the gift that we've been given, the whole person of Christ, the whole person of God?